Welcome to the full Tracy Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:24 p.m. that is Pacific time, and today is October 30th. And I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the potential for a bounce, but also the fact that we have some type two top formations that are really quite evident, and that definitely we're getting a dispersion. That there is obviously. What's weak is weak, what's strong is strong, and that we have a clear delineation between the sectors that are heavily leveraged, those that are interest rate sensitive, and obviously, if you're leveraged, you are obviously going to be interest rate sensitive. Then you also have the other side of that of the equation, where you have companies that have got strong cash flows that offer some, I think, haven status. And give them more of a floating rate bond characteristic rather than the kind of bond-like characteristics that people tend to think about is as if they were fixed interest. But that's simply not the case. When companies can grow their dividends in double digits, then you have to have a yield that is rising at a very prodigious rate to really. To combat that. But what I thought I would kick off with today would be to look at the kinds of instruments that have been underperforming and continue to do so. So Tencent, for example, has been trending lower since March of this year. It failed to push on to a new high, then it broke downwards. And when we look at the medium-term trend, well, this has been a and remains a very pronounced downtrend. It is rapidly unwinding all of the advance that it put in 2017. But perhaps more important than that is the fact that Tencent is emblematic of the successful Chinese technology companies, and also the fact that they have come under increasing pressure, not only from international investors, but also from the Communist Party, and subsuming the profit motivation of their boards towards more of a geopolitical ambition that the Communist Party has. And that's something that is weighing on all of these technology companies, but it also helps to highlight that the selling pressure that has been assailing the Chinese market has not ended, and the renminbi pushed on to new lows in here today. Well, seven is obviously a big psychological level, but it also helps to highlight the fact that when we look at the trend, that the pace of the decline has moderated. The Chinese have to contain capital flight. That is by far the biggest consideration from the perspective of the administration, because when they look at the size of the debt issue that resides on the domestic balance sheet, whether that is in the region or in the government, in the regional governments or in the central government, then and marry that with the size of the deposits in the banking sector, well, the way that one can balance off the other is to assume that you're not going to have capital flight, and that's obviously going to become a progressively greater threat the weaker the currency becomes. Well, when we look at the A-share index, that is obviously populated by a significant number of the larger banks, and it has at least paused in terms of its decline. But when we look at the Shenzhen B shares, which doesn't have any banks at all in it, well, that is also pausing in here, but it has had a much steeper decline, and it has broken very clearly down from that overhead trading range. Well, it is the systemically important finance institutions that China is broadened the definition of what those are in the domestic market, and it is very clearly supporting those financial institutions. But there isn't a great deal of evidence that it's supporting just about anything else right now. Well, the weakness in China is obviously having a deleterious effect on sentiment, and that is also weighing on the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index. Now, this index has got type 2 top formation characteristics. We have the failed upside breaks, we have the longer range following what had been a particularly consistent and persistent advance, then we have the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. Now, people are asking, and this is generally speaking, exactly what we anticipate that the question that people ask in a type 2 top formation characteristic is, does the economic activity or the economic deterioration that people are worried about really justify the extent of the decline that we've seen? That's the kind of question that's always asked when you get this massive reaction against the prevailing trend, because it's the proverbial bolt from the blue. It is something that was completely unexpected, and it takes people by surprise. And therefore, people are saying, well, is it really that bad? So you have the potential for a bounce, and the bounce could quite easily pull it all the way back up towards the trend mean. And it could form a range that could last for anything up to 6 months, could last even longer than that. But the big question is, of course, that you now have a lot of people who've had stops triggered, they're sitting in cash, and are they going to put that cash back to work immediately? Well, some of them will, but then others won't. And big institutional investors will be waiting to see what happens next, and that means they're not buying. That means that supply and demand have come back into relative balance now, and I think there is potential for a bounce, but then the big question is whether the index is going to subsequently really be able to muster the wherewithal to push back above the trend mean. That is an awfully big question, and it really is for the bulls to prove here, and that hasn't been the case for years. So this looks like a very clear change of trend. But then when we look at, for example, Apple, well, it would I think one would be forgiven for thinking that anything untoward has happened at all when you look at a share like Apple. But of course, Apple's valuation is nothing like the kinds of valuations that we see in some of the more highly leveraged technology companies. And it has got a dividend of about 1 1/3, but its dividend growth rate is in the region of about 8%. Excuse me, it's more than that, it's 13%. And then we also have the consistency of the trend. Well, they've announced a refresh of the MacBook and the iPad in here today, but I think most people are going to be watching for their earnings when they come good or come through in on Thursday. Then let's compare that with Amazon. Well, Amazon did look like it was going to push on to a $1 trillion market cap, but it hasn't been able to sustain that, and now it has pulled all the way back to this 1500 point level. Well, obviously this is a major trend inconsistency. Not only that it has pulled back in a very violent manner, but it has fallen by $500. Now, some people will say, well, oh well, you have to look at this in the context of a logarithmic scale, that this was a big decline, certainly, but in the context of the size of reactions previously, well, we've seen big reactions like this in 2016, and then subsequently the market has more than doubled. So this is certainly something that people will be thinking about and questioning whether now we have a buying opportunity, not least because the price might be below the trend mean, but still it's in the region of the trend mean. And there is some rationale to support that. But there is the other consideration that Amazon is a much more highly leveraged company than Apple is, and therefore it has a greater risk premium attached to it, but it is short-term oversold. But best case scenario now is that we are going to get a significant period of ranging, considering just how much there have a lot of stops have been triggered, and therefore that this is likely to have a significant ranging period, considering that Amazon has not really it's come in with somewhat lower guidance, but this is not the kind of major decline that would justify a huge decline in the price. And it does not look like the US economy is going to go into a recession. So there is certainly an element here of in terms of the extent of the selling pressure that it has been algorithmically driven. But then you've also had a significant quantity of money being pulled out of equity ETFs. And that is something that we have to be alert to. This is probably a foretaste of what we can expect from the next recession, whenever that occurs. This, to me, at least looks like a medium-term correction, and then we have to also think about where the relative strength is. Well, the Nasdaq 100 has pulled back into its underlying trading range, and arguably it would have triggered a midpoint danger stop line stop in here today, but it has bounced. Now the question is whether it can push back above that 7,000 level, and I think that there is a I think a better than even chance that the Nasdaq will be able to push back above the 7,000 level. It does not have the same extent of trend deterioration, for example, that the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index is, but it is certainly no longer as consistent as it was between about the middle of 2016 and the beginning of this year. We have a much greater we've got a lot more volatility. We have much larger reactions. It is trading back below the trend mean for the first time since the middle of 2016. So this is no longer as consistent a trend as we had had previously, and therefore the risk premium has increased. So this is, I think, a particularly important time to be paying attention to the consistency of trends. We do have short-term oversold conditions, and therefore I do think that there is the potential that we're going to get a bounce. And just how far that bounce takes us on some of these major indices is going to be one of the more important arbiters of whether this is the beginning of a much more important topping formation or whether it is a medium-term correction that eventually moves on to new high ground and these medium-term trends are resolved on the upside. Well, a lot of people are going to be paying attention to the fact that bond yields are continuing to hold the 3% level. And this doesn't look like much more than a consolidation in an otherwise reasonably consistent medium-term uptrend. In this move that we've seen since the failed downside break since the middle of 2016, we've seen two rather lengthy consolidations, and they are one above another. And as long as the yield is holding the 3% level, then the most likely scenario is that we're going to see additional upside. Nonetheless, when we look at, for example, 2-year futures, well, they're really quite oversold. It's still a consistent downtrend, but I think we are likely to get some pause in consolidation because the people are starting to think about the Powell put. Just when is it that the Federal Reserve is going to give us some signal that they are not going to continue to persist with additional rate hikes on a quarterly basis? And that's, I think, the big question that is underlying this market. We have a new central banker at the Federal Reserve, and he has not yet been tested by a crisis. So, generally speaking, the market has a habit of manufacturing crises to test new central bankers, and there's going to be a new central banker in Europe next year as well. Well, when we look at Europe, then the extent of trend deterioration that we've seen there is more pronounced than we've seen on Wall Street. And the DAX, for instance, has pulled back below the 12,000 level. That was a psychological area of support for most of 2017 and the better part of 2018. Now, this is not the first time that the index has pulled back below the trend mean. It spent a good deal of time below it in 2011, in 2014, and then again in 2015 and 16. So, and then also, it hasn't been a particularly consistent trend. There have been some rather lengthy and deep pullbacks with ranges dipping one into the other. And this is another instance of that. There is a short-term oversold condition. So then the potential here is that we are going to get a bounce. But then the question is whether 12,000 is now an area of resistance, having previously been an area of support. And the European banking sector remains under pressure. And there is a distinct absence of upper dynamics to really confirm that the selling pressure is abating here. Well, the European region has obviously got some big questions underlying it, and the euro is continuing to come back to test its lows. But the most important thing that we've seen is that it failed to push back above the trend mean in September, and now it continues to trend lower. Well, it is now coming back down towards the upper side of that underlying trading range that we saw between 2015 and 2016, but there's precious little evidence that this represents an area of support here. The simple fact of the matter is that there is no country wants a strong currency, but some need a weaker currency more than others, and that certainly I think is appropriate for Europe right now. It's also appropriate for China. China needs a weaker currency, but at the same time, it needs to do everything it can to avoid that capital flight. Then the Australian dollar has stabilized around the psychological 70 cent level, but it does still have this sequence of lower rally highs, and I don't think that we yet have evidence that this downtrend has ended, but rather that we're seeing some pause in terms of the decline so far. Well, the ASX 200 was in positive territory in here today, and it's steadying from the region the lows we saw back in 2017. But again, this is another index which has not been particularly consistent. There have been periods when it has dropped below the trend mean, and it has subsequently been able to push back up above the trend mean and push on to new high ground. It is oversold in the short term, so there is potential for a rebound here. But this is also the biggest reaction we've seen in at least the last few years, and I think that is probably going to give people some pause. What all that points towards is the likelihood that we are going to get some, at least some ranging, and then we'll see the extent to which some of these markets can push above their trend means. The Nifty index was in mildly negative territory in here today, and it is right in the region of the lows we saw from earlier this year. This is the biggest reaction that we've seen since at least 2015, and we're seeing some evidence that the banking sector is stabilizing. There is a great deal of dispersion in terms of performance within the banking sector. For example, if we look at ICICI banking in India, well, that is the has been the relative strength leader, and it is testing its highs from back in 2015 and earlier this year. But then when we look at Yes Bank, well, that has had one of the clearest pullbacks, but then it is now testing the lows. It hasn't moved to a new low. Well, what that suggests is that there is already a lot of bad news has been priced in, and that this is what might be considered a classic liquidity squeeze. But there isn't a great deal of evidence yet that it is over, and the rupee remains under pressure. Generally, international investors get salivate when they have the potential for capital market appreciation coupled with currency market appreciation. Well, where there is potential for that is in Brazil, where the real has steadied up to the region of the trend mean over the course of the last 6 or 7 weeks, and it was in positive territory in here today, but this is the region of the trend mean, and we've already had a pretty good steadying. So now the question for the Bolsonaro administration is, what is their program for government going to be when they take power in on January 1st? Meanwhile, when we look at what's going on in Mexico, you have the rather opposite situation, where you have a left-wing, not particularly business-friendly administration coming into power, and the market is selling off rather aggressively. The Mexican peso, which had been rallying for a good part of this year, well, I think it is now looking increasingly likely that it is going to weaken further from here. That the dollar has held this sequence of higher reaction lows since 2017, and that continues to hold. And really, a clear downward dynamic would be required to question that we're not going to see additional weakness in the peso. Now, when we look at the wider environment, certainly there is an element of risk off that has been evident within the market over the course of the last few weeks. But I think Facebook is one of the shares that is worth keeping an eye on, because it led on the downside, and most particularly in terms of the technology sector. It pushed on to new lows in here yesterday, and it has steadied up in here today, and its earnings are going to be announced at after the close today. So this is a rather interesting period for the company, because considering the size of that large downside weekly key reversal that we had in the middle of the year, then that's likely to hold up the share for a fairly considerable period of time. And if it can rebound and range above 150, well, that could be considered the best possible scenario. But it really does need to rally more from where it is right now in order to really demonstrate a return to demand dominance and, more importantly, a failed downside break. So I think people will certainly be keeping an eye on what their earnings are going to be after the close in here. I think the big question that many people are asking is maybe the same question that people were asking in about 2012 and 13 with regard to the gold price. And that was, I think, a rather important discussion that we had at the chart seminar in New York back in 2012, because there was a running argument at the time that we'd had a very consistent advance between about 2009 and 2011, and then we did have evidence of some acceleration, and the price had really pulled back sharply. Well, that was also a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and people were asking the same question. Did we just have a major cataclysmic event in terms of the global economy? Well, the answer was no, and but nonetheless, the price had pulled back very sharply. Well, then it ranged for the next year. And that was not the first time in terms of the trend up to that point when prices had these lengthy ranges. Well, then the question was at that point, are we about to get a breakout that's going to take it above 1800 and resume the secular advance, or is this a top? Well, we're really not at that point now, but people are asking the same question. Is this a medium-term correction, or is it a top? Well, it's very difficult to answer that question because it does not look like we're having a recession, but certainly liquidity conditions have tightened up. That central bank largesse has contracted by over $1 trillion in the space of the last 6 months, that you're getting the end of extraordinary monetary policy starting to come through in an increasingly large number of countries, and that was one of the primary sources of liquidity for the market. But there is the potential that we're going to get more fiscal stimulus, and then that could give an extra leg up to these markets. We could also have improving standards of governance and more of a market-friendly environment for an increasingly large number of countries, which could help to boost global demand. That's an additional potential outcome. Then there is the potential that central banks will decide that they're not going to continue to raise interest rates. Well, that could also help to boost markets. And there is the simple fact that the yield curve spread has not inverted. Oil prices are certainly not surging higher. In fact, they're going the other way. Brent crude was down today by approximately $1.40 and unwound the advance we've had over the last few days. So there is less pressure on the global economy, but rather that this has been a period where some of the more highly leveraged trades have been unwound. I do think that this is at least going to contribute to some ranging, and then we'll have an answer whether we are more in a 2015 or 2016, a 2015 2016 scenario, or whether this is more of a bigger top within the context of a secular bull market. Even within secular bull markets, we do get these much larger pullbacks and consolidations, and then generally these have been historically very attractive buying opportunities. And it's arguable whether this is a big enough pullback to really qualify as one of those really great buying opportunities. But I think the more important question is, just like when we had that argument back in 2012 about the gold price. It's about the exit strategy. What would have to happen in order to really demonstrate that this is more of a topping formation that has the potential to have a significant decline, and or whether it is something that is worth just holding on through. Well, I think semiconductors are due a very lengthy period of underperformance, considering the topping characteristics that we have. Whereas when we look at the S&P 500, it is probably going to range for a significant period at this point, and that is potentially now going to then lead to a somewhat less impressive period of performance for stock markets. That then will depend on how the economy performs later. Generally speaking, if we look back at the S&P 500, but not for now, and go back and look at how did it perform in 2006, 7, and 8, well, we can see clearly that the market trended higher in a persistent manner until the middle of 2007. The really big problems evolved in 2008. But it was in September and October of 2008 that things became urgent. But it was the big breakdown and below the top formation at the beginning of 2008 that was the clear sell signal. Well, we just don't have that yet. That's not what we have right now. In fact, I think the more likely scenario is that we're going to get at least a move back up into above the trend mean, considering how short-term oversold the market is. But what that also suggests is that 2,500 points is a very hard level now in terms of where things would look clearly wrong. So that's the big conclusion here, that when you think about whether this is a short-term oversold condition and therefore a buying opportunity, well, at what point does that look clearly wrong? Well, 2,500 points would probably be the answer to that question. We certainly know that we've had a position of underperformance in global markets outside of the USA for most of this year, and that does not look like it is over just yet, but we are starting to see some dispersion coming through in terms of some of those conclusions. And there is certainly value. When, for example, we look at Samsung Electronics, it's not as if they've stopped producing phones, but the market is really looking on it with a rather extreme disfavor. The price has pulled back pretty significantly over the course of the last 12 months, but it is the shares valuations that I think people have to start paying attention to at this stage, that it has an historic PE of 6 and it yields 3%. So I think people certainly say that Apple is not an expensive company, but on an objective basis, Samsung is a cheap company. And I think it is at this point in the cycle that people will start to pay attention to these sort of value propositions, and then also to the kinds of companies that have got very strong cash flows. So I think there's a very solid argument to be made here that we are in a period of rotation, and that is likely to correspond with a range on the major stock market indices, whereas other sectors are going to do substantially better. Coca-Cola, for example, has been largely ranging with a mild upward bias for 5 years, and now there is, I think, the realistic possibility that it is going to push on to outperformance relative to the wider market, purely based on the fact that it has got these floating rate note type bond characteristics. Pepsi was also in positive territory in here today. It hasn't quite broken its sequence of lower rally highs for the year, but it is certainly firming. And I think it is these globally oriented consumer type autonomy companies that are likely to be those that really give us a position of outperformance over the course of the next 6 months or even few years. But of course, these are also highly defensive. And these are exactly the kinds of companies that do tend to move to outperformance in the latter stages of a bull market. So that is, I think, another signal that we are late in the cycle, and that It really is dependent on just how tight liquidity conditions become. I think that considering that liquidity conditions have tightened up enough, or have tightened up significantly this year, then it is on central banks to decide whether they are going to continue to tighten. Because I think if they do continue to tighten from where we are already, then that is likely to have a deleterious effect on asset prices. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.